Hi everyone, thanks for joining me today for episode 47 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry and Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. And you can also find me on Pinterest as Summer Newland, N-E-W-L-A-N-D. I have a lot of boards there, mostly food related, but you're welcome to follow my boards there, and I'll generally follow people back there. Why not? And you can also find me on Goodreads, which is another place that I often forget to mention. I am, what am I there? Summer Newland, I think. I think I'm Summer Newland there. I don't remember. I don't ever log in with my name. But you should be able to find me there pretty easily. We also have a Ravelry group, which is obviously on Ravelry, and I'd love it if you would join us over there, too. I am doing something different today. It is Wednesday morning, and I have a little bit to say. I mean, it's not going to be a long, long podcast, but I have some stuff to talk about, and I don't think I have enough time, so I have my alarm set for 20 minutes. Or my timer set for 20 minutes. So at the 20-minute mark, I'm bad about just extending that. At the 20-minute mark, I am going to pause and get to work, and then tomorrow morning I will finish up. So this will go out a day later than it would typically go out. But I want to keep on some schedule, and if I were to go with my gut and try to do the whole thing, I know that I will be running very late today. So that's my plan. So what have I been up to? Well, first of all, my birthday was this past Sunday and I had a great one. I thank you all for the birthday wishes on Ravelry and on Instagram, and I don't know that anybody listened, or other than one face-to-face person, probably isn't friends with me on Facebook, but I really do appreciate all the birthday wishes. Social media makes a birthday such a big deal these days. I'd also like to thank a couple of people for gifts. They gifted me patterns. And actually, I didn't ask permission to mention you on the podcast, so I'm not going to do that. But for those of you who did gift me a pattern, thank you very much. And it was very much appreciated. And I just cannot wait to knit all the pretty things. I just lost my show notes. There we go. Okay, so what did I do for my birthday? We went to Austin. That was almost a bust because the boy had homework that he had to do. And we didn't think he would be able to get it done if we went to Austin. The reason we were going to Austin in the first place is because my husband had a meeting. So if one of us was to stay home with him, it would have been me. And I was really very much not happy about this prospect. This would have been the second time I have not been able to accompany Jimmy for one of his workshops. And both of them were related to poor planning by my children, and I was really not happy, but my husband came through, and they worked it out, and Eli got his homework done over the weekend. He did a couple hours between the time he got home and I got home on Friday before we were going to go to Austin, and he did a little bit on Saturday and finished up on Sunday, so it all worked out, thank goodness, because it was shaping up to be a very miserable weekend, and I was not a happy camper. So we headed to Austin and got there probably about 8:15, 8:30. Yeah, that's probably about right. On Friday night, and we met our friends that we were staying with at a place in Oak Hill, which is South Austin, at a place called Austin Pizza Garden. And I've probably mentioned it on the podcast before because we've been there once before. And it's just, it's not a non-chain pizza restaurant with really good pizza. We had two different kinds. We had I don't remember what they were called, but one was basically a meat lover's and one was it was called Quattro Formaggio. So four cheese, and it also had bacon and mushrooms, and it was absolutely delicious and really good garlic bread as well. So that was Friday night. And then we went home and hung out for a while. I don't even remember what we did. I did gift my friends. These were the friends that I had knit hats for Christmas, and this was the first time we had seen them. So I gave my friend Mike barley, and I've mentioned that several times in previous podcasts. It was knit out of Lone Star Arts Big Bend DK in the Lump of Coal colorway. Wow, I can't believe I remembered that. And he loved it. They have a cat who is an outdoor cat who every night Mike goes and hangs out. Before he goes to bed, he goes and hangs out on the back porch and feeds Domina and, you know, and cuddles with her. And since it's kind of cool, this was my hat was for him to go sit and for cat cuddles. And then I gave my friend Denise the Measure in Love, which I made out of Unwind Yarn Company Touring DK in the First Frost colorway. And she really, really liked it. And that is so gratifying when you give hand knit gifts to people who really appreciate them. Denise is truly knit worthy. She asks about how to care for things. She wears the things and just gushes over them. She even posted a picture over the weekend after we were gone with her wearing her hat at a family function. And it's so wonderful when you have people in your life who really appreciate the gifts that you give them. Giving this to Denise was also significant because the Measure and Love pattern, if you are not familiar, is by Megan Williams, and she designs a pattern every year for her sister who died of complications due to birth control several years ago. And every year she makes I think it's always a hat pattern that she thinks her sister would have liked to wear. And the money is donated to a women's health organization. And I cannot remember the organization right off. Well, Denise has had health issues of her own, but more importantly, she lost her mother to uterine cancer, I believe, several years ago. So I let her know the significance of the hat. And that part was also appreciated. So I felt very good about giving this hat. My voice is doing funny things this morning. I'm not normally this strangled sounding. Sorry. So Saturday we got up, and as even though we were there for Jimmy's birthday, it was acknowledged as my birthday weekend. And I hashtagged the heck out of it on Instagram. And I know I probably confused some people, and I got so many birthday wishes on Saturday that I felt like I was lying, but I hadn't lied. I did. My hashtag was birthday weekend 15. And I did acknowledge it several times that my birthday was actually Sunday, but I appreciated the birthday wishes on Saturday all the same, especially since really that's when I celebrated because we were in Austin and we were doing fun things for me. So we went to Hill Country Weavers, which is on South Congress in Austin, and it is my absolute favorite yarn shop. I just love that store. They have so many awesome things, and it's just homey feeling, and the people are nice, and I just love it. The only thing I don't love about it is the location, because South Congress is crazy busy, and finding parking can be an issue. And Saturday was kind of gloomy and gray anyway, so it wasn't that fun being out, but the shopping was fun. And I'll talk about my acquisitions in a little bit, either when I record this morning or when I record in the morning. Of course, you won't know the difference, will you? After that, we were going to grab some lunch. And even though it was a rainy, dreary day, South Congress was super busy. So we went across the street to a restaurant called South Congress Cafe. But even at, I think it was around 2 o'clock, it was going to be an hour and a half or so wait. No way. No thank you. So I don't know if we tried anywhere else over there in that area, but we figured that it would probably be the same no matter what. So we tried. Laura wanted to go to Book People, which is a magnificent bookstore in Austin. Probably the best bookstore I've ever been to. And we we're going to try to eat somewhere over there. So we went and we parked at a place across the street called 24 Diner and walked in, and it was going to be another probably about a 45-minute wait. Under normal circumstances, that wouldn't be such a big deal, but we had to go pick Jimmy up from his meeting in just a bit. He had given me a heads up about when they were going to be finished, and we had let him know, you know, what our plans were, and he had kind of given us the okay. I mean, not, he had said that that was fine, that we could go ahead and do what we had planned to do, and that he wouldn't have to wait very long. But if we had to wait that long for lunch, he would have to wait. So we ended up going across the street to Whole Foods Market instead, which, if you're not familiar with it, it is a, it's a grocery store that sells more, I say, finger quotes, healthy options. Let me take a sip of coffee real quick. And yes, they do have more healthy options. That does not necessarily mean they're more calorie conscious. But they have a really nice hot food bar and deli and stuff like that. So we went over there. It was also insanely busy. But we managed to, we all got food from their hot bar. I mean, it's a bulk area, so you just put stuff in your boxes and pay for it. And it was a pretty healthy lunch. We managed to find a table, barely, and ate that. And then, even though we were right across the street from Book People, by this time it was time to go pick Jimmy up. So we drove to UT, which is not very far from where we were, picked him up, and then went back to Book People. It was times like this when I appreciate how small Austin is. In Houston, we couldn't just, oh, well, let's just do this and come back. Most places, it's not convenient to do that. But we went to Book People. I did not buy a book, but I did buy a pair of socks. They're so funny. They're really pretty socks with, like, yellow flowers on them. And then they have a tag on the design has a tag on the flowers that says, "Kick this day and it's sunshiny, A-double-S." I'm not going to say it because I don't want an explicit rating for a pair of socks. But, so there was that, and those were fun. And I know Jimmy and Laura each got at least a book, I believe. I don't even remember anymore. But it was fun to be there anyway and look around. I am very disappointed. They have a very small craft section. I mean, it's tiny. It's about one bookshelf. And, I mean, a fairly small bookshelf at that. So that's always disappointing. But everything else is wonderful. And then after that, we headed back to our friend's house where we had decided that we were going to cook dinner rather than go out and try to deal with it. Places in Austin are not necessarily huge, but Austin has a huge number of people. So going anywhere often entails a wait if you want to go to any place cool, you know, rather than just a mainstream chain restaurant. And it was dreary and cold, and we didn't want to wait outside, so we made dinner at home. We had steaks and potatoes and some green beans, and I don't even remember what else. The side recipes were off of Pinterest. One was called Hasselback potatoes, which are basically baked potatoes that are, they're sliced, they're kind of fanned, and then you put Romano cheese and breadcrumbs on them. They were not great. I think they needed to cook a little bit longer and needed a little bit more butter. The funny part about them was that we kept calling them the Hasselhoff potatoes. The green beans were okay. They were not maple glazed. They had brown sugar bacon and green beans, and they were pretty good. But I make another recipe that is bacon wrapped green beans with a little brown sugar sprinkled on them that tastes pretty similar and are much easier, and honestly I think they're better. So I won't make the green bean recipe again. I'm kind of in the kitchen part right here, I guess. And then I also baked cupcakes, and I'll talk about those in the kitchen for sure. And then, you know, we just hung out and had a fun night. On Sunday, we headed back to Houston pretty early. I had bought a Groupon for a Monet exhibit at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston. that was ending on my birthday. So we needed to use it. So we had it back in time that we could still go to the museum. And we Eli needed to work on his homework, so we took one of Laura's friends instead. And it was not a very huge exhibit, but it was really cool nonetheless. There were lots and lots of Monet exhibits. The I think it was called Monet on the River was the name of the, or Scenes from the River, something like that. All of the paintings were set or were painted on the Seine in France. And the just various different ones. Some of them I recognized, some of them I didn't. I actually have a list of my favorite that maybe I'll find screenshot or find images of and put them on the, show notes this time. So, the only other exciting thing that I have done is I booked a trip to Washington, D.C. for April. So I've already mentioned this on Instagram, so I think most of the people that I know that live in that area have actually already seen it. But I would love to meet up. I'm going for a conference. I'm flying in on Sunday and flying out on Thursday, and my conference is Monday through Wednesday. I do have plans with a friend for dinner on Sunday night, but that's not until around 8. And I fly into D.C., assuming everything goes smoothly, before lunchtime. So I have all afternoon and early evening free. I probably can't check into my hotel until 3 p.m. Anyway, so I've got, I think I can probably stow my bag at the hotel or something. But I've got all afternoon free on Sunday, which is would probably be the most convenient time for most people. And if not, I'll be done mid-afternoon on Wednesday, so I also have Wednesday evening free, and I fly out, like I said, on Thursday morning. I'm a little miffed at myself for not thinking this through, because the weekend after I will be there is Maryland Sheep and Wool. And if I know that I could go, Mom, and change my flight, probably, and change my hotel reservations. But with so much travel coming up, Laura and Jimmy are going to North Carolina over spring break for an Appalachian State visit, and we will have to take Laura to orientation in June and then move her in August. We are 99% sure that she will be going to Appalachian State at this point. With all of those plans, plus I will be attending another conference a couple of weeks before for just a couple of days, I just feel like I've kind of maximized my travel time for this year. So there is my timer, and I'm going to be a good girl, and I'm going to stop for now, but I will pick up with what I have been knitting. I can't believe I just spent 20 minutes talking about not knitting stuff. I hope you don't mind that there was no knitting content up to this point. So I will talk to y'all tomorrow morning. Okay, thank you all for bearing with me. It is now Thursday morning. In the morning, not going to say how late it already is. I got a late start today, too. Let's move on to my knitting. Thank you all for your patience. Works in progress. I have no finished objects this week, unless you count spinning, but I'll talk about that in spinning. Works in progress. I am still working on my worsted boxy, which is a paid pattern by Hoagy Locatelli. I am using Malabrigo Rios in this, and as I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I'm not really sure what the colorway is. It was labeled one thing, and it is clearly not that colorway. I don't know if it was an off dye, I don't know what you call it when the colorway doesn't turn out like it's supposed to, or if it was just mislabeled. But it's a really pretty blue color. I'm terrible at describing colors. But anyway, it is a really pretty color, regardless of what the color name is. For the size I'm doing, which I believe is a medium, and I think my friend Katie asked me recently, so Katie, I think I'm doing a medium, just in case I forget to tell you. The dog needs to go out. Okay. For the size I am doing, I'm supposed to work 17 inches from the bottom up before I separate for the sleeves or do whatever it is that I need to do for the sleeves. And I am currently, oh, I did the math yesterday. I'm probably at about 14 inches. Maybe a little less than 14 inches. I thought that I was closer, but then I measured more carefully yesterday and have a little bit more to go. At the rate I'm going, I should be able to finish this up or finish this portion by the end of next week. Maybe earlier than that, depending. But I am working steadily on it. I'm able to get about 3 to 4 rows done at work during the day, over the course of the day, over breaks and lunch. If I eat lunch at work rather than go out for lunch, which I do most days. So that is going well. I was getting a little worried yesterday, so I measured my gauge, and I'm spot on. However, I did notice that was supposed to be the gauge after blocking, so I'll just have to block it a little bit gently so that I don't stretch it out too much. Luckily, the way this sweater is, if it's stretched out a little, it's not going to matter that much. I also worked quite a bit on Cecius from Curls by Hunter Hammerson. I am using Spartacus Dyes Braverman Sock in the I've Been Impaled colorway, and that is a really pretty colorway with various shades of teal. I would say it's mostly teal, but sometimes teal leans more towards the blue side, and sometimes it leans more towards the green side. It also has some pops of turquoise and brown and pink, and it is really pretty. I took the pattern with us when we went to Austin, so I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I didn't get to knit on the way to Austin because I drove the first half and it was dark by the second half. But I did get to knit pretty much the whole way back, and I knit just a little bit on Saturday night. So I don't remember how, maybe I got about 3 repeats of the pattern done, and it's a four row repeat. And so I made quite a bit of progress on that, relatively speaking. Considering that I have not been working on it very much, I did a pretty good job on that. The only other knitting that I've been working on, and that includes the sock yarn blanket, which I've sort of put aside just for the moment so I can finish this up. I've been working on the Olympic Forest Baby Blanket, which is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey. I'm using Barocco Vintage and colorway 5124, which is kind of I think lime sherbet is a really good description. Sherbet, I guess, is the right way to say that. I grew up in the South. It's sherbet. I'm a little more than halfway done with the third chart. And there are 3 charts and then a picot edging. And I'm just a little bit more than halfway. There are 32 rows, and I think I am on row 17, but I didn't get finished with 17 last night. It is slow going, and I am very ready to be done with it. It was going to be gorgeous when it's done, but I want to have other things that I want to work on. But this is obligation knitting, and it's good obligation knitting, but I'm ready to move on. There are other things that I want to be working on that I don't feel like I can work on. The weekends, I can give myself a little bit of time to work on some other projects, but weeknights, when I only have a little while to knit anyway, that's getting my attention for right now. The baby that I am knitting this for is due at the beginning of March, so, you know, it could, hopefully, it won't, you know, she'll make it until, you know, closer to March, but you never can tell, so I want to have this as close to being done as possible when the baby's born. Hopefully I'll be done. So those are all of my works in progress. I have the urge to cast on things, but I'm not going to, for the same reason that I'm working on the Olympic Forest baby blanket every night. Spinning. I have been spinning every day. I've still been doing the 15 minutes, spin 15 and 15 hashtag spin 15 and 15. I've been doing that on my spindle every day. There's only been one day when I didn't, but that day I did spin because I spun for about 30 minutes on the wheel. So I have gotten spinning in every single day so far. So let's see. On my spindle, I finished the Never Enough Time pole worth Stellina that I was working on last week. That was in the colorway Nefertiti, which was a gradient from, it went from a powder blue to a sage green to a, kind of a cinnamon to a golden yellow. It was very, very pretty, and it was very consistent. I didn't have any trouble spinning that at all, and I got about 52 yards of a single, which is fantastic. And I actually went through the process of fulling that single so that I didn't have to ply it. Since it was a gradient, I really wanted to keep it as it was. It is so pretty. And then I also finished some Falkland. I can't find the tag for that particular sample, so I'm not sure who it was. And the colorway for that one was Guardian of the Gate, and it was kind of a purpley brown to a brown with a little bit of, I don't want to say an acid green because it wasn't that bright, but it was a kind of a greenish yellow. Personally, I didn't really care for it that much. I didn't care for spinning it apart. I wasn't having any problem spinning it, and I like Falkland okay, but I got into the middle of it and I just had the hardest time. I couldn't draft. I don't know what was going on. So the middle of it kind of is big and chunky while the rest of it is nice and consistent. It was a little frustrating. And then the colors I just didn't really care for that much. Plied up is okay. Maybe if I had a whole bunch of that color as I, you know, for a hat or a cowl, it might be nice, but was not of the ones that I have done from the Fat Fiber box. This one has definitely been my least favorite. And I still have three more samples to spin from there. I don't remember what they are. Two of them are, you know, brightly colored, and then one of them is actually just natural. It's very white, and I don't remember what the fiber is. And I'm trying to decide if I want to just stick that on the wheel, but it wouldn't take, actually at this point, it wouldn't take me very long to do it on the wheel, but I probably will just do it on the spindle. If I remember correctly, it's very lanolin-y. It'll be an interesting spin. And then on, I know I did some more yesterday after our podcast. I'm making sure I didn't forget anything. I don't think so. My ladybug, that's what I was thinking. I finished spinning the two of my hand that I had started, I guess I had started it last week when I podcast. It was 100% superwash merino in the San Miguel colorway, and I got about 80 yards of a bulky two-ply. It was not my best spinning, but it is pretty, and it was good practice. Parts of it were severely overspun to the point of, it looked like a telephone cord, if you remember what those looked like. That was, you know, very, very coily. But when I plied it, that most of that worked its way out. There are some places that are still super kinky. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with it. It looks pretty good for our first ply. I need a lot of practice. That said, I started last night. I decided to spin my some Hawassee Creek Dye Works that I bought last year at Into the Wool. It is a bamboo, merino bamboo blend. I don't know if I have the percentages on that. And It is in the Colorway Glacier, which is a, it's a gradient from a, it's blue, like a silver blue, like from a, oh gosh, I don't know what the color is, but like a very frosty blue, like a, I can't think of what a good description of the color is, but it's very blue, and the gradient is into a much, much, much paler blue, and it is very pretty, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised yesterday when I sat down to spin that, when it just wanted to spin itself, basically. The others that I have done on my wheel so far have been a lot of thick and thin, and, you know, I had a hard time drafting, and it wasn't very consistent. This is spinning very thin, and it's just like flying off my fingers. It is just amazing. I'm really enjoying it. I only did 15 minutes yesterday because I had other things I needed to do, and I did this while I was cooking dinner, but I was able to get, you know, I was able to do some of it. I'm trying to think if I actually did that. I think I did it after dinner, but, I wanted to keep going. This one I could just see just sitting and just doing the entire braid. It's an amazing spin. So I can't wait to finish that. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with it. It's too thin to keep in as a single. I'm pretty sure. But it's a gradient, which means I probably need to learn to chain ply, and that makes me really nervous. I did have some left over from the two of by hand where I had spun thinner on one bobbin, so I have some left over. I think I'm going to use the leftovers to practice chain plying and see how that goes before I do it on the Hiwassee Creek Dye Works, because I really don't want to mess that up. But so far I am loving my ladybug. I am getting the hang of it. I'm learning what she wants to do. I'm definitely getting better. I love it. Cross stitch, very exciting news. I finished my 12 Days of Christmas sampler. I'm so excited about that. Finally, I don't know how long exactly it took me. It took me longer than I thought. When I started it last year, I started it before Christmas in 2013. And at the time I was working on it, I was doing, I don't know, maybe an hour a night, and then I started having some shoulder issues. I found that the repetitive motion of cross stitch really hurts my shoulder after a little while, which is why I generally do 20 to 30 minutes and no more than that, because it starts hurting if I do more. Doing it that way, I was definitely getting more done, and it was going more quickly. When I picked it up this year, I picked it up a little bit, I guess, before Thanksgiving, I think. Maybe around the beginning of, maybe right after Halloween. I thought that I would be able to get it done by Christmas. And boy, did I overshoot. Because obviously I just finished it now. And I've worked on it pretty consistently. There have been a few days where I didn't get worked on. But for the most part, I did. And it took me a month more than Christmas to get it done. But it is done. Now I just need to decide what to do with it. Pretty sure I'll get it framed, but I'm not very familiar with that process, so things like that always hang me up for just a little while. So that is all of my crafting. Let's talk about my enabling and acquisitions. Let me take a sip of coffee real quick. As it was my birthday, I did have some acquisitions, not a lot, but I did have some. Obviously my wheel was my big present, and I told my family I did not want anything else, and they did not get me anything else, which is perfectly fine. But when we were in Austin, while Jimmy was in his meeting, I mentioned that we went to Hill Country Weavers, so of course I bought some stuff there. I ended up with 3 skeins of yarn. From there, I bought 2 of them, and 1 of them my friend bought me as a gift. So the one that she bought me was Vice Sinful Singles, which is a single ply 100% superwash merino, and it's in the Smudges Flocks colorway, which is a beautiful tonal purple. It's just really, really gorgeous. Very velvety looking. It's just, it's really, really nice. And the base, I don't know if it is the exact base, but it's very, very similar to Tosh Merino Lite, if you are familiar with that. It is a very, it's just a really, really pretty. Oh, wait, I'm wrong. I said that was the one my friend bought me. I actually bought the Vice. I also bought myself a skein of Madeline Tosh DK in the Modern Fair Isle colorway, which I've seen on a few podcasts. I know that Kate from Stitch Addiction really, really likes this colorway and has shown it several times. And it is a natural color with flecks of colors. I mean, it's one of the, it's a spatter dye, splatter dye? No, scatter. I don't know what you call it. I'm not a dyer. But it is just speckled or speckle dyed maybe. I don't know. I'm not a dyer. And the colors are kind of, it feels very fall-like to me. They're not like neon colors, which there's one that's called Holy Festival, which is the same concept, but its colors are more of a, you know, like neon bright colors, and this one is more earthy. And I think I will make a hat with that. And then the one that my friend bought me is Yarn Carnival Fire Dance, which is also a 100% merino, and it's a light fingering weight, and this one is plied, whereas the Vice Sinful Singles is a single ply. And the colorway for that is Shark Week, which is a variegated yarn. It's grays, kind of a sky blue, and red, and it's very, very pretty. And it is a very generous put up. It was, I think, 800 something yards of a light fingering weight. So that will make a really nice shawl. Along the birthday thing from my mom, I got a package in the mail. Actually, it was here when we got back, on Sunday. And it's kind of a funny story because the box that she sent, I'm looking at it right now because I don't throw anything away. It's about, 2 to 2.5 feet long and about 4 inches high. So it's a long, narrow, thin box. In the box was a basket. Yes, a basket that was, oh gosh, she told me where it was from. Hold on just a second. Right here. It's from Ghana, and it is just a very pretty, like sisal basket. I don't know what you would call it, but it's very moldable. So she was able to actually fold it up and fit it in this box, and it actually retained its shape really well. The instructions were, you know, that I might need to soak it to get it to regain its shape, but no, it bounced right back. And a little while later, after I had opened it with no one else in here, and Jimmy came in and was asking about the basket, and he's like, wait, the basket was in the box? He couldn't figure out how that exactly worked. But also, besides the basket, she gave me a lot of linen that she had from a long time ago for cross-stitch, and I've never cross-stitched on linen, so this will be good practice for me. And then lots of little cross stitch with beads, little kits. That'll be really fun. They'll be nice little palette cleansers between projects, I think. And then I mentioned last week in the podcast that I wasn't sure what the first thing was that I ever cross stitched. And she sent me what I think is the first thing I ever cross stitched. It was, I assume it was supposed to be a pillow, but it had just a few different blocks on it that you could cross-stitch on. I don't know how to describe it. But in the middle, I had cross-stitched an S. So I will do something with that at some point. But that was a really nice gift. Thanks, Mom. From a friend at work, I got some scone mixes that was a nice surprise. I got, it was from the manufacturer or the company is called Sticky Fingers Bakeries, and they make a lot of different mixes. And the ones I got were cherry chocolate chip, pumpkin cranberry, and glazed cinnamon raisin. And I've made the cherry chocolate chip ones, and they're okay. I'm not knocking the gift, but I'm not a big fan of cherry and chocolate together. I thought it's one of those things that sometimes I think I'm not, but then I'm pleasantly surprised. And this one, I think maybe the chocolate's just a little too dark, but they're very easy to make, and it's nice to grab in the morning. I got a little bit of money from my dad, and I'm going to use that probably to buy fiber. I haven't decided yet. I'm so overwhelmed with the choices. Ah! Hold on. Sorry about that. I just looked over, and the cat was trying to play with the fiber that is on my wheel. Not good. Anyway, I'm just so overwhelmed with the choices. There are dyers that I've tried, dyers that I've heard about, and I don't even know how to choose. Oh, it's so overwhelming. I don't know. And there are some other little things that I would like to get too that aren't just fiber. So, I don't know. I will have fun spending that. And then the other acquisition that I have, and I'm not going to work on this anytime soon, I don't think, but there is a seller on Etsy called Love My Stitch, and she has some amazing cross-stitch patterns. I don't know about all of them, but a lot of the ones I've seen are, they are Disney-based, and some of them are, basically she's taken a screenshot from a movie and then converted it into a cross-stitch file or a cross-stitch pattern. And they're just amazing. They're incredibly detailed. And the one that I purchased is a stained glass Disney piece. It's very big. I think it was 35 by something inches. So quite large, huge project. I've been looking at it and thinking, well, maybe one day. And I showed it to Laura, and she's a big Disney fan, and she just thought it was amazing. No, I'm already working on a blanket for her, so I'm not going to start doing something like this necessarily, unless I just want to. But the pattern happened to be on sale for about $5, $4 or $5, so I went ahead and bought it. And I was really curious because looking at it, it is so intricate. I was worried that there might be a lot of blended colors, which is one of the things that's keeping me from working on the Christmas stocking for Jimmy, is that there's a lot of blending. And, you know, taking, you know, one strand of this colorway another strand of this color, and it's kind of, I don't know, I find it, it's just very tedious. And I was worried that this would be the case with this one, but it's actually not. Even though the colors are amazing, and it's not blocky, but all of the color, I mean, it's just, you know, one color per stitch. So it is very overwhelming. I think I will have to take it, you know, in little 10 box, I can't say that. 10 squares down, 10 squares across. You just kind of do little blocks at a time to get through it. The pattern is not color, which I've gotten really used to with the frosted pumpkin citrine patterns. And this is, and it's just so intricate that it is a little overwhelming. And I'm going to have to conquer it, basically. I am very excited about doing it, but I've got to make myself finish the things that I want to finish first. In the kitchen, I only have a couple of things that I want to talk about, which is good because I need to leave as usual. This is a trend, right? For my birthday, I made white chocolate raspberry cupcakes out of the Sally's Baking Addiction cookbook, and these were amazing. They were so incredibly good, and they were so incredibly pretty. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw the picture I posted of them. It was the prettiest thing I've ever made, honestly. I'm not the best cake decorator, so that's not really saying much. And I tend to shy away from cupcakes just because I find them tedious. But this really turned out well. It was it was just a vanilla cupcake, which was a really basic recipe. And after baking the cupcakes and letting them cool, you cut out a little section out of the top and put a teaspoon of jam in each of the cupcakes and replace the top portion. And then you make basically it's white chocolate buttercream frosting and pipe that on. And I topped each of them with a little sprinkle of raspberry sugar that we just happened to see at Whole Foods that afternoon. And a fresh raspberry. And they were so pretty. And the raspberry is optional, but I'm so glad we put it on there because there was just that little tartness to the raspberry that just made the cupcake. That was absolutely the best cupcakes I've ever made. They were bakery worthy for sure. And then the other thing that I was going to talk about was just one of the recipes I tried this week is a rustic chicken tart with spinach and brie. And this is from the America's Test Kitchen Quick Family Dinners cookbook or something like that that I've had for a couple of years. And I've made a few things. And generally my observation about this cookbook is the recipes are easy. They taste okay, but they're nothing special. They're kind of bland. They don't have a whole lot of seasoning. And I guess it's just the quick thing. But this was pretty good. It was basically you mix, I used rotisserie chicken from the grocery store. You mix that with spinach and a little bit of walnuts and brie and a little bit of salt and a little bit of chicken broth, I believe, was all that was in it. And you mix that up and then you lay it, you take a refrigerated pie crust, lay it in the middle, fold up the edges to make kind of a tart, and then bake it. You put more brie on top of it once you have it in there. And it was pretty good. It was not the best thing I've ever made. It was very pretty, but there was something about it I didn't like, probably the spinach, honestly, when it comes down to it. I'm not a huge spinach fan. I like it. I will eat it, but it's not my favorite thing in the world. But it was a good, and it was quick. It was a really quick family dinner that was not the usual fare. I don't have this written down, but I did last night. I used the other pie crust out of the box and made a cheddar quiche, which was actually really good. And it was just a very basic, you take, you cook some bacon, crumble that in some cheddar cheese in the bottom of a pie dish or on top of a pie crust, and then mix eggs and evaporated milk and salt and Tabasco, I think. Mix that up really good, pour it on top of the cheese and the bacon, and bake it for about 30 minutes, and it was really good. I was very pleased with that. Another quick family dinner. And that's about it. Thanks for bearing with my two-part podcast this week. It turned out to be longer than I thought it would be. And I'm not surprised because with the birthday, I did have a lot to talk about. Hopefully next week's will not be quite as chatty. I hope everyone has a good week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.